The clock is ticking on 2013, and with the end of the year and the holiday season, a lot of people are thinking about charitable giving, whether we're talking about money or volunteering. We've got a pro with us. Lisa Dietlin is a philanthropy expert. She's the author of Making a Difference, 365 Tips, Ideas, and Stories to Change Your World. Lisa, happy holidays, and welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rob. Happy holidays to you, too. Are you staying warm there in Wisconsin?
It's really cold outside. It is freakishly warm here in our studio. We need some HVAC help in this building sorely. So it's a real weird contrast.
Well, I imagine. It's cold here in Chicago, too.
Well, I've got lots of questions for you, Lisa. But first, I want to invite our listeners to join in. And I'll ask you, how do you like to give? Money, time, or talent? Who do you give to? What are your priorities for giving this holiday and into next year? Or if you're with an organization that's looking for donations or volunteers, you can give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Lisa, year-end donations, a lot of people are thinking about that now, trying to get them in by tax time. Can you give us some of the guidelines to make sure that if we itemize our deductions and our donations, we can get credit for those come tax time?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in the U.S., we're real fortunate that we also get a tax break. In addition to doing good when we give our money, we also get a tax break. And for those donations to count as deductions when you itemize, Rob, this year, they have to be in by 11:59 on December 31st. And what that means is if you're using the U.S. Post Office, and so many of our mailboxes have been full with direct mail, and you're putting those checks on the envelopes, the envelopes on the outside have to be postmark stamped 11:59 on December 31st. Doesn't matter what the date on the check is. It's that postmark on the outside of the envelope. Never send cash. If you're sending a check, money order, or a cashier's check, that's the way you would do that. If you're making a donation via stock or a credit card, I'd say allow a few days for processing. You know, it's a really busy time. And, of course, what we saw happen with the breach of security at Target, you know, credit card companies are being even more cautious. So give yourself a few more days to get that gift processed before December 31st at 11:59 p.m.
So don't sit down to make your donations as the ball is dropping in Times Square. Leave a little time there.
Well, you know, you could do it, but you're taking a chance. It's sort of like roulette. It's either going to land on that side of 2013 or this side of 2013. And unfortunately, if it gets processed on, you know, 12:01 January 1st, it counts for next year. You still get it, you know, but it won't count for this year.
And when do we need to keep receipts for each and every donation?
You do for gifts over $250. That should be automatically generated to you by the nonprofit organization. That if you've given $250, you should be getting a receipt. But if you're not, you can ask for that. And that you can ask for any time between now and when you file your taxes on April 15th. You can ask for that tax receipt. What I recommend to people is, you know, go through your check registry if you have a check registry. Many of us still we do have that, but some of us are doing it online. Look at those checks that you've written over the past year and see which ones are to charity. And if, you know, they're over $250 or there's cumulative over $250, call that nonprofit and ask them to send you a receipt. A lot of nonprofits do that in January anyways. Look at your credit card statements and see if you've made donations that way. And the other thing, Rob, that most of us forget, look at our mobile phone cell bill. Did we make a donation via our mobile phones? You know, with Typhoon and the tornado and a lot of the disasters that happened recently, we're more inclined to give via our mobile phone.
Interesting. We'll talk some more about disaster giving later and making a plan of action for 2014. But throughout this discussion, we'll take your calls, telling us how you give, where you volunteer, who you like to donate money to, or make the case for a cause that you work on. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to our callers now. We've got Joan with us in West Salem. Joan, hi.
Hi there.
How are you? Good. Where do you donate or volunteer?
Well, I'm a hairstylist in Alaska, and every year for Christmas, sometimes instead of buying little gifts for my clients, I like to donate to an animal shelter. And I donate, and I work for an animal shelter, Tina's Canine Rescue. It's a no-kill shelter. And I try to get there a couple times a month. I love animals. I love to give to animals. And this year, I myself and a couple of friends purchased all new litter boxes for the cats.
The gift of litter boxes, that's great for the shelter, I bet.
That.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Joan, for sharing that story. And, you know, that reminds me, last-minute holiday shopping. Do a lot of people really do that, give gifts in other people's names?
They do. They absolutely do, Rob. For the person that has everything, you know, you can buy them a cow through Heifer International that would support a family in a third world or developing country. You could make a donation in their name for UNICEF. So, you know, their goal is to get to zero children, you know, dying of diseases that are preventable. So it could be mosquito netting. It could be, you know, becoming educated about the foods to eat and the way to personal hygiene. You could support, you know, the U.S. Fund for UNICEF, or you could make a donation locally. The other thing that's interesting is that we in the nonprofit world have figured out how to use gift cards. There's the justgive.org or givenow.org cards that are just like a gift card that you give to somebody. You purchase it, you give it to somebody like you would a gift card for a store, and then they can give it to any of the 1.6 million nonprofits that are registered in the U.S., and they can make the donation. So they can actually direct it themselves if you're not sure what they really care about or where their passion lies.
So they get to pick the cause. That's interesting.
They get to pick the cause. You still get the deduction because you purchased the gift card, you know, the charity gift card, but they get to make the direct the gift.
Now, speaking of holidays, there's a little observed holiday coming up in a couple days, Boxing Day. And by the way, on the 26th, on Thursday, we're going to hear from a guest who says we should adopt Boxing Day as a holiday. I think that's at 3:30 on Thursday. But Lisa, you say there's a lot we can do for giving on Boxing Day, the day after we've gotten all those new gifts.
There is. You know, it is a tradition that is observed greatly in Great Britain and Canada and Australia and many other parts of the world. And it started with the idea that the people who had wealth and had people who worked for them actually gave their servants the gifts the day after the Christmas holiday. And it was Boxing Day. They would take the beautiful boxes that they had and put gifts in them and give it to the people who worked as domestics in their house, in their household, and help them. And that's hence the name Boxing Day. But I think you can take it a step further. I had a friend, I was telling her the story about Boxing Day, and she took it upon herself, Heather did, with her daughter Rye, and they took her gently used toys and said, okay, these are toys you don't play with anymore, these are toys you don't use, stuffed animals you don't have, you know, you don't particularly care for, and they started boxing them up. She got four other friends. She called a domestic violence shelter that said, oh my gosh, we are so short of toys, and we have moms, you know, that are leaving abusive situations with their kids coming in. We would love to accept that. And then thinking about if you get a new coffee maker and your old coffee maker works fine, boxing that up and giving that to a nonprofit or donating it to a thrift store that they could sell it to somebody who could use it as second life. You know, sort of looking around your household and saying, what do I have of plenty that I really don't need anymore? And, you know, if my mom was sitting here, and I can't believe I'm going to say this on here, she has counted, and I have 77 pashminas. That's 77 scarves to wrap myself up in. And, you know, I probably could donate half of them and still have plenty because I have every color under the rainbow. You know, I mean, does anybody really need that many? And many of us are like that. We become collectors of things and, you know, does anybody need that many of any one thing, that many stuffed animals, that many toys or glass collections or what have you? And if it's something you're not using, why not think of boxing it up and giving it to your favorite nonprofit?
It sounds like the key to your story about Heather there was that she called first and made sure they needed the stuff. If you're not giving just to a thrift store to resell, not just showing up with stuff that they may or may not need.
Absolutely. And she coordinated it with friends. She told the story. She's a single mom. She's raising her daughter. And, you know, this cause touched her heart. So she reached out and she told people at work what she was doing. And ended up four of them that have children, have families, said, you know what, we could do that too. We can hardly get through our children's rooms. Or I've got some clothes I'm not wearing. You know, we all talk about how we're changing sizes, whether we're gaining weight or losing weight, and sometimes things hang in the closet that somebody else could benefit from. But, you know, it doesn't hurt to pick up the phone and call. And Heather found a cause, you know, a domestic violence shelter that was near and dear to her heart.
Go back to the phones now. We've got Jeannie with us in Salem. Jeannie, hi.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. I'd like to encourage people to look at the website for a group called Aid Africa's Children. It is a local charity started here in southeastern Wisconsin. It was founded by a couple of nurses several years ago who go personally every year, every other year, to see their projects and how they've developed. And this year, together with several other charities, they're putting a roof on a dormitory for a girls' high school in a region in, I think it's Katanga, where they've not had the ability to have a girls' high school before. And that really means that these young women are married off and into a lifestyle that's very non-productive at a very young age, but having a high school will really create a lot of opportunity for a very large region.
Jeannie, thank you so much for sharing that. And it sounds like these nurses had a personal connection to this place and started the charity for something that they felt attached to, Lisa.
It does. And that is the way a lot of nonprofit organizations absolutely get started, Rob. That somebody sees a need and they say, you know what, I can help. I can fix this. I can make this world a better place for this person, for this family. And oftentimes it's something that we're doing already, that if we're a teacher, we might see where education is needed. In this case, if we're a nurse, we might see where health care could be provided. So it's a great way to begin looking at the world. What talents do I have that I could help somebody else in maybe a different part of the world or even in my own community? The one thing I would caution is, you know, there's been an explosion of the number of nonprofits that have been established, and so many people like this group are doing amazing work. We could do some partnerships. Everybody doesn't have to start something. They could partner or bring a program into an already existing organization.
We're talking about charitable giving with Lisa Dietlin, and you can join the conversation. How do you give? Do you make donations to a group or donate your time or talents? Or do you see a need that isn't being filled? Do you work with a group that needs donations or needs volunteers? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We pick up our conversation now about charitable giving with philanthropy expert Lisa Dietlin, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. We'll get back to your calls in just a few minutes, but Lisa, first, I approach giving pretty haphazardly, I got to say. Is there something to be said for planning, say, as we come up on a new year, how we're going to give in 2014?
I absolutely think there's something to be said for planning. And one of the things I've always said is, you know, take a look at what you've done in the past. And I've come up with this acronym this year, Rob. I call it Let's Rave About Philanthropy. And RAVE is an acronym for Review, Assess, Value, and Explore. And I say, review what you did last year. You know, what did you give to? What did you care about? Most of us give to our house of worship or our alma mater or kids' school. You know, what else did you get involved with? You know, assess what you care about this year. Your philanthropy can change. It should change and adapt. And, you know, as you grow and your family does, there could be a disease that affected your family that you want to support this year. There could be a new organization that developed in your community that you want to support. There's just always lots of ideas being brought to people's attentions. And it doesn't mean what you're doing was bad last year, but you might want to change. So assess. Then value. How much can you give? How much can you give? What is your charitable budget? What do you want to set it? And then explore. Explore thinking about, can you do charity all year long? You know, most people only think about charity in the last 2 months of the year, in November and December. Over 80% of nonprofits, Rob, receive 50% of their funding in the last 2 months. And I say, let's explore giving it throughout the year. And do we want to do it monthly? Do we want to do it quarterly? Looking at other ways to give. And then set a little bit aside, a little bit of surplus for those unexpected requests, for the Girl Scout that's knocking at the door, you know, with the cookies or the gala you've been invited to, or the silent auction, or the tickets being sold for the church raffle. Set a little bit of money aside. So I'm saying 2014 should be the year we rave about philanthropy. We review, assess, value, and explore.
Well, I know we talk about this a lot lately on public radio when we have our pledge drives, but is this a big movement elsewhere, sustaining type gifts, where instead of I'm giving you money now and that's it, people set up to, say, do $5 a month or X amount a year or something like that. Is that a big trend now?
It absolutely is. And those supporters are so needed. You know, when somebody thinks about, when somebody asks an individual for $100, person goes, wow, that's a lot of money. But think about if you gave $10 a month. If you gave $10 a month to public radio, which I absolutely love and support, you know, $10 a month means I'm giving actually $120 a year. They can count on it. They know it's coming every month at $10. I've increased my gift by 20% to the organization, and I don't even see it. It's painless to me, and I'm supporting an organization. So I think there's a benefit to that. And also being open. So when they have special projects or special events and they come to you and say, you've been a great supporter every month, would you consider this additional project or program, being willing to consider it? But absolutely, sustaining gifts, those gifts that you can count on when you're running the nonprofit organization are vital. And if you know what you're going to do, share it with the nonprofit organization. I would say to the listeners, you know, if you know you're going to provide a gift, start having that conversation so that they can start planning and do the very best with the program, the project, because they know the funding's coming, and make sure that you're a partner with them, because they don't know it's coming. They you know, they're wondering if the program is going to exist, and you might hold that decision by just providing the information that, hey, I'm going to be supportive, and here's when we're making our gift, and here is the amount it's going to be.
We'll go back to our callers now with Karen in Monona. Karen, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I work at a public library, and so I'm calling to say that people can donate to their public libraries as well. Our public library in particular is working on their summer reading program already, getting ready for that, and hiring performers and putting together programs for preschoolers and for school-age kids and for tweens as well. And all of the program that we're doing this year relates around exploring science, technology, and engineering. So we have events and activities as well as the reading program, which keeps kids reading throughout the summer so that they go back to school in the fall with their skills intact.
Karen,
so we're always looking for donors.
Gotcha. Thanks, Karen. So, Lisa, library is one another in a long list of giving options.
It is. You know, all of us value the library in our community, and somehow we overlook it. We just think it's always going to be there. And I think that is an excellent idea that the caller shared about supporting libraries. And I often call my library to see if I can donate books. You know, the books that sit on my bookshelf that I've read or reread, you know, I have a few favorites, but a number of them I would be happy to donate. And the other thing is, in my hometown of Alpena, Michigan, they have a Friends of the Library program. And it's a nominal amount of money, $10 or $20 a year. I can be a supporter, and then I get early access when they're getting rid of their inventory. They have a Friends Festival where you can go and shop for books, and that's another way to support the library. So libraries are hidden gems in our community that we kind of expect to be there, but it's nice when we step up and provide financial support.
Thanks a lot for the call, Karen. Lisa, earlier you mentioned disaster-related giving. Now, the big disasters that the Philippines disaster and others, they're not in the headlines now. I've seen elsewhere you've made the case that just because it isn't happening now doesn't mean there's not a need for disaster relief.
That's so true. There, you know, we seem to be a society, you know, that wants instant information, instant gratification, and then we move on to the next crisis or catastrophe happening. You know, there are people still suffering in the Philippines. You know, as of the end of November, a lot of people didn't have clean sanitation. They didn't have good water, you know, drinking water. They were looking for food and shelter. And I think it's really vital that we remember those folks that have been affected. Here in the Midwest, you know, we've had the tornadoes. In Michigan right now, in the Lansing, Jackson area in mid-Michigan, where my alma mater is, Michigan State, you know, the power is out. People are cold. They're trying to figure out what to do for the holidays. And, you know, whether it's a temporary disaster like that because of the ice storm, or whether it's, you know, lingering like the catastrophe that happened by the typhoon in the Philippines, we need to remember those and know that we have disaster relief organizations providing support. The American Red Cross is still there. The International Red Cross is in the Philippines. Salvation Army, Feeding America. I'm a big supporter of Feeding America and the food banks throughout this country. You know, go to Feeding America, type in your zip code. They'll tell you the food bank near you. Make a donation. They're first responders. They're providing the food to the people who are actually there at, you know, providing the relief services. Don't forget your firemen and your policemen. You know, there's going to be tragedies that happen during this holiday. And when we're sitting there feeling bad because the family's lost their home to fire or there's been a car accident, you know, remember those first responders and provide support to the organizations that support them, too. It's all of us in it together, and I don't think we need a disaster or a catastrophe happening to keep that in the front of our mind.
Lisa, we've spent a lot of time talking about how to give and who we should give to. Can you give us a little more of the why? Why do we like to help people? Why do we like to donate our time or our money?
You know, that's an excellent question, and I love answering that. It's who we are as Americans. You know, we just celebrated Thanksgiving, and you know, as I often say, when those settlers came, while there were other, you know, people that lived here and other colonies tried, when the pilgrims came, you know, they had to survive that first winter, and, you know, they helped each other, social service, and, you know, they merged that spring. And, you know, if they wanted a library or they wanted a hospital or they wanted a school, they had to build it themselves. And it's our tradition, Rob. It's our history. It's where we come from. Neighbor helping neighbor. You know, if they wanted a university built, they had to build it themselves. They had to raise the funds. They had to find the means. The plantings, the harvest, the quilting bees, all those musicals that we grew up with, those Western musicals, they just showed us that this is who we are at our core. And, you know, Americans are cited as the most generous individuals in the world. I don't know if that's true. I don't know what that measure is. But I do know it's in our DNA that when we see somebody hungry, when we see somebody's lost their job, when we see somebody, you know, walking down the street and needs our help, we jump in to help. We see those acts of philanthropy and charity every single day. And I think it's just how we're wired in this country.
Lisa, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you, and happy holidays to everyone. Remember, there's still time to donate, and everybody can make a difference. Every dollar counts. Every hour of time counts. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share.
That's Lisa Dietland, philanthropy expert, author of Making a Difference, 365 Tips, Ideas, and Stories to Change Your World.